to record. Okay, could you state your name and spell it out for me, please?
My name is Mrs. Johnny Leigh Merks, and it's J-O-H-N-N-I-E, feminine Johnny, Lay, L-A-Y, not the potato chip, but I wish I had some of that money, and B-U-R-K-S, no E.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And then just to start off, where did you go to school yourself, like before you were a teacher?
Excuse me, I didn't quite hear what you said.
Yeah, where did you go to school?
My actual beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a native of Barra County.
Okay.
Next door, Oconee is between us.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school. Now, you have to get to Era now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Bethlehem Colored Elementary School.
Correct.
Fairfield Elementary School and Glenwood Elementary and High School in the colored Barra County School District, because full integration did not come till 1970.
Wow.
So prior to that time, even though it was all in the same school district, there was no mixing of the races.
Mm-hmm.
So the school districts were separated by race.
Jeez. What was that like? Like, what was your school experience like?
Wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful. That school experience helped me be sitting in this chair for you to interview me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The sacrifices, because separate but unequal in terms of facilities and textbooks and labs and school buses and opportunities, just the bare minimum, just the bare minimum. But what was the wild card was the determination of the teachers and the determination of our parents to make sure that we got what we need. Even though the system was telling us that we were second class, we never believed that, because we always knew we were first class and we were somebody. So if the textbooks had chapters missing, like all your textbooks are brand new and you got your all the chapters in there, the textbooks had chapters missing, the teachers made the difference, because there was something called duplicating machines and mimeograph machines. You all don't know anything about it, where you put the purple oil in there to mimeograph papers and so forth. The teachers were industrious, so they made sure that we got the best that they could give us. And then there's always dictionaries, and there were always teachers who had been exposed. I have no idea how they had the opportunities, but they had been exposed to a lot, and they made sure that we got that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the system was set against me, I was able to thrive and survive and do well going against the odds. Because the odds were set against me based on the color of my skin.
Yeah. Wow. Well, did the teachers, did that inspire you to go into teaching, like seeing everything that they did?
Not necessarily, but I need to give you a little bit more background. I come from generations of educators.
Okay.
So you've heard of HBCUs, that's historically black colleges and universities. So I had grandparents, great uncles, aunts, and so forth been to my university. Is now Clark Atlanta University, but it was Clark College when I was there, and there was always Atlanta University, where a lot of colored teachers got their advanced degrees and so forth. You've heard of Tuskegee University, I'm sure, and there's something called Savannah State in Savannah, but it used to be Georgia State here in Athens, but it was moved to Savannah State. So there were generations in my family who had somehow or another figured out education is the key. And I'm going to go back a little farther to tell you we can trace our family history back to the maternal side. And so my great-great-grandmother was a freed slave at 16, but her slave mistress taught her how to read and write. And that may be where our quest for education and so forth began, but I don't know that. But that it's just a focus. So coming back to what you said about teachers, and I will tell you, I had some that certainly inspired me, but nothing about choosing a career. My mother was principal of colored Bethlehem Elementary School.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So my grandmother and my grandfather ran what was called church schools. So it's kind of like I lived at home, but there was a lot of educational opportunities.
Okay.
In my home. And of course, I don't know when I wasn't traveling back and forth to faculty meetings and education events and spelling bees and so forth, just by the sheer fact that I was my mama's child. And when my grandmother was busy with some of her opportunities, things that she was doing, and I was always school-based, so I saw all of that. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the answer to your question is, they always knew I was going to do something. They knew I was going to do something. And they gave me the best opportunity down the road to get to the what I have done, but they knew I was going to do something. A lot of people predicted, as we were just saying to your classmate that left who's looking at law, a lot of people mm-hmm. thought with her keen mind and attention to detail, that's the route she's going to take. But after college and taking government and so forth, political science, I realize you can't really get anything done now. Y'all see how tied up we are in government now. So I realized that was not the... I've always had a knack for helping people. Always been concerned about my fellow man.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So then, just a little more background. So you went to school, you went to college, and then you started teaching? Was that like right away?
That's exactly the way it went. So that was public school, birth to beloved Glenwood Elementary and high school in Winder, Georgia. Off to Clark College, which is now Clark Atlanta University. It's a consortium.
Oh, yeah. Consortium. I've heard of that.
Yeah, you chew it sometimes. You find out some things. So it's a consortium of, I don't know how those historically black handicapped individuals put all that together back in the day. It goes back into the 1800s. Morris Brown College has now gotten its credentials back and is operating, not at full speed, but the students can get financial aid. It had lost its accreditation. So the consortium was my college. In my time, Clark College was separate from Atlanta University. Atlanta University is a graduate school where you get masters and specialists and doctorates and so forth. And in the 80s, due to some financial situations and the industriousness of our Clark College president at that time, we bought Atlanta University. And then we became Clark Atlanta University, so we got university status.
Yeah, that's really
Clark
cool.
Clark Atlanta University. Then the completion of that consortium then is Morehouse, Spelman, and the Interdenominational Theological Seminary.
Okay.
And we took classes back and forth on all the campuses. So I didn't take a class at Morris Brown, but my late husband, who's a scientist, a chemist, he's held degrees from Morris Brown. But along with me taking most of my classes at my base college, Clark Atlanta University, I took political science and government at Morehouse College. And one semester of Spanish, the last semester of Spanish at Spelman. Now, you hear all this about Spike Lee, and he's a graduate of Morehouse College. But he took all his communication and journalism classes at Clark Atlanta University. You don't get that part, but that's Clark Atlanta University.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so then, just for the record, what was the school you were teaching at before you moved to Chase Street?
Okay, so back to your original question. Because of financial situations, they had given me the best when I graduated from Clark College. It was really time for me to go to work, but they all knew that I was going to go on to graduate school. But see, now you all can get the full rides and you see the people on TV. I saw some cute kids on TV. They got millions of dollars and they're making those choices. See, we predate all of that, nothing. So our parents were sending us to college, borrowing money from the banks, making money, doing whatever they need to do. And then there were people in college with us who had the GI Bill, who had been to the war and they came back, and that was the veteran benefit. So those were the ways that people, and then a lot of people were working their way through college. So when I graduated from college, my mother said, now you need to get a job. And I got a job. My first job was in Madison County. I taught 1 year, Madison County School District, taught sixth grade. Beautiful Northside Elementary School, where the late Reverend Ara L. Calloway was my first principal, who was just awesome. And then I came into the Clark County School District. Now remember what I told you earlier. Even though all of this is under the umbrella of Barrow County School District, Madison County School District, Clark County School District, it was really two separate operations. It was the colored division, and then there was the white division, and it was all based on race. So to answer your question, my first job in the Clark County School District was East Athens Elementary School. Now, if you're familiar with East Athens, if you know where the Miriam Moore Community Center building is located, they use it as a voting precinct. That's the ground that the East Athens Elementary School is on. That was still McKinley Drive. And I taught that 3 years. Wonderful experience. Now, this is one of the negatives, and you all need to know this. Mm-hmm. One of the negatives that came with the desegregation, our history got demolished and thrown out. Mm-hmm. Our buildings were substandard. So then all of a sudden, when the court said you can no longer run two separate situations, educational organizations, all of a sudden a good look was taken at those buildings. And they were phased out. So East Athens Elementary School building was phased out. I think before it was demolished, and this is off the record, I'm just talking from memory, so you'd have to cross-check this. It just may have been maybe used as early learning center or something before it actually went out. But memory might have faded on that. I can't tell you exactly how long it took after full integration for that building to be phased out.
Yeah.
And North Athens Elementary School, if you've heard of it, it's over there by the Poultry on Barber Street. And it became like the bus pond where the school buses were kept. And maybe now it's a homeless shelter or something over now. And the Westbrook building that you hear so much about in the media now. See, those were colored. Am I saying anything that y'all familiar with? Have you seen the Westbrook building
right down on Broad Street? When I was living on the east side, I think I can picture what you're talking about.
Right. But you have some familiarity with the east side.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. So that's where I was transferred. Wonderful people, wonderful children, wonderful parents, limited everything as I spoke about, what I experienced as a child growing up, all based on race.
Yeah. Cadence, do you want to take over for a little bit?
Sure. So, kind of going along the same timeline that Isabella was taking you on, after your first experience teaching, you were then transferred to... I've heard a couple things, but you transferred to Chase Street Elementary.
I was transferred to Apps Road Elementary, right up the hill on the corner. After many conversations we can't have this conversation without talking about Superintendent Sam Wood. You ever heard that name?
I haven't.
Well, that's a name y'all really need to do a little research on him. The superintendent at that time was Samuel Watson Wood, W-O-O-D. And when you Google his name, this is going to come up. and I don't want to talk from memory on that, but I read it all, and his family has shared a lot with me. But there were all kinds of separate school systems running, so he had to pull all of that together. That was Clark County, that was Athens City, then that was the colored part. When you check the records, you'll see if I left out anything. So he was like the merger of all of that to form the, what you know as the Clark County School District, the first superintendent of that. And during his tenure, from my reading and so forth, there were a lot of things that he had to work through. Well, everybody knows Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. And I'm not going to remember off the top of my head when he took over, but certainly he's aware of that. The military used to be segregated, so everybody knows some president. And again, I won't tell you off the top of my head which one dealt with that. So everybody could see that separation based on the color of our skin, that was going to have to go. We all won United States.
And
go ahead.
Sorry, how did that feel, like anticipating that? Were you like excited, or was it kind of like a...
I wasn't even aware of all that, because a lot of that we're talking about, you know, I was a child growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I will answer your question by saying I couldn't ever understand it.
Yeah.
I couldn't ever understand, because like we all just people.
Yeah.
And my mother explained as best she could, a brilliant woman, but there were no textbooks to tell her how to explain to me that the color of my skin was determining the opportunities that I could have. And yet we were all one people building the country. So it's like, why are they riding the school bus and my classmates are walking? And I told you, I did have a few advantages. I was always in the car because my mother was educated and so forth, and they had to have transportation and that kind of stuff. It never made any sense to me because it was just based on the color of your skin. So I don't know how I felt. I just had all kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, when we look back on it, you always say that doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it was. Now, what was your question?
So, you mentioning Alps, I remember something I come across. You were stationed at Alps, but then...
I was sent. I never got stationed there. Now we're coming back to Mr. Woods. That's how we got back on all that. He had to face all the dealing with all of this. And my understanding would be that the colored parents who were meeting with him and talking to him, and now I've done some more reading on that, they were looking at those substandard opportunities that their children were offered. And the thinking was, I believe, that, well, if they go to the white schools, things will be better. So the first thing that I think happened, and you can research this, because there were parents who appealed to the Board of Education to get their children transferred to all white schools. And of course, only a handful, I've done the research on all of that, only a handful were accepted to do that. And then following, that was pressure from the federal government, because then the federal government was looking at, you know, we got to do something different. So he can't speak for himself, but just what I was reading, he's kind of like caught between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what he was looking at, remember now, he had a Board of Education, all white men and one white woman. There were no, you go to the Board of Education now, what do you see? You see a diversified group of men and women. I love it. When I look up there at them there, I think I had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
The group that approved me was all white businessmen running businesses, the mayor of the city, you know, the elitist of the town, and one woman whose husband was, everybody knows about Ford automobiles. There used to be a business here in Athens called Trussell Ford. That's the board members' names are in the old board records that I had, but that was the one female that was on the Board of Education at times. So see, he had to deal with them and what they were going to approve. So in my discussions with him, he was moving toward that, and I think the discussions with him was, for him, he was figuring out is this the lady, one of the ladies that I need to move to deal with a situation like this? Because let's face it, it is a spotlight. You know, you're right in the middle of a tumultuous time in our history. 1966. Well, they just celebrated. I'm off track, but this gets back to me and getting to Apps Road. They just celebrated the remarching of Selma to Montgomery and crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Did you look at any of that on the weekend? If you did, you saw they always replay Bloody Sunday. That was 1965.
Mm-hmm.
So this transfer came in 1966. So everybody wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And nobody really was happy. It was a lot of tension in the air about what was going on. So really just anybody wouldn't be the right person to place in a situation like that. So I had many meetings with him, but here's the thing, I didn't know what I was meeting about. You know, I'm just the employee. I'm just in here with this powerful man. And you know, he's just talking to me about school and education and so forth. But in retrospect, he's kind of feeling me out. Now, you know, he knew all about me. He'd been out to Barrow County and found out who this woman is, and through college in Madison County, everything is very well checked out. But to answer your question, his assignment was for me to join the faculty at Apps Road Elementary School. It was a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to Apps Road Elementary School, as a transfer, I didn't have to go to new teacher orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what they do now, but that used to be a week of pre-planning. But if you were a brand new teacher, you had a week before pre-planning. So the faculty apparently had been meeting, but I got there on the said time of the pre-planning date. And I didn't bring that letter, but if you need the dates, you can see that. I got there on the said time, and the principal of Apps Road at this time was Mrs. May, that's M-A-E, Watley. And her husband was the University of Georgia baseball coach. Mm-hmm. So she was elitist, well off, privileged, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I arrived in my little Falcon, I was right cute then, a lot of energy came walking up. I got to the lobby, and of course she knew who I was because my letter that Superintendent Wood had sent was to Mrs. Jessie McCordy, my beautiful principal that I was leaving, to say I'm transferring Miss Johnny Lay. At that time and I will get back into that because I think by the time my transfer came, I was Johnny Lay Burke somewhere along the way. I had gotten married in there to Apps Road School. And Miss Watley had one saying, I'm transferring her to you. He said the one to Miss McQuarter saying, I'm taking her from, so she knew I was coming. But when I got in the lobby, that's as far as I got, because she said that her faculty was complete and she had no teaching position for me, Johnny Lay Burks. And so, of course, that was nothing for me to do but exit the building and do what we do, go tell our parents this didn't go well. I was rejected. So, the board office used to be on Millage Avenue somewhere in the area where your Millage Avenue entrance is to Clark Central, but in a Victorian house, a white house up there on the corner, because that was all a part of, I guess, the Clark County School District probably still owns that. So much has happened since then that may have been sold. But you know, I had to go back to his office to tell him, and of course I was given the rest of the day off while they figured out whatever was whatever.
Mm-hmm. I have a question really quick, but do you remember any specific details about her saying this?
I won't get into that in this interview.
Okay, yeah.
It will be told.
Okay, cool.
But the rejection is enough for you to get. And see, this, I can't communicate to you all the times. Because the bills, y'all are students now, so you're studying history. All of the stuff that's now needing to be reauthorized, all of the fights, all the marching, all the student participation, all the stuff we did in college, you know what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his team did, all the signing of the civil rights bills, the voting rights bills and all that. Presidents have been reauthorizing them down through the years, but they're not reauthorizing them now. So you all gonna have to participate in all of this now. So voting rights and things that we accomplished moving forward, they have expired. But the reason I share this with you all is because we didn't have any rights because of the color of our skin, which is hard for you to imagine. I'm okay if you tell me you don't have the training to fly an airplane, but don't tell me I don't have it because of my skin color. That's what we were dealing with.
Yeah.
So the next day, that's what you want to know. The next day I went.
The otter stopped recording for just a second. Okay, I'm going to stop this and start.